Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Anushka.
Hi, Anushka. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. Mr. G here.
Hello.
I want to thank you for taking a moment.
No problem.
You're getting ready to come over on the East Coast.
That's right.
October the 19th, you'll be in New York at the Met.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, that ought to be a nice venue for you.
Yeah, it always is. I love playing there, so it should be fun.
Yeah, you hit up a lot of really nice venues. You'll be in Burlington, Vermont, Hanover, New Hampshire, then Boston, Massachusetts at the Berkeley Performance Center. Tasty treats for the folks around there, but very nice for you as well.
Yeah, very much so, especially at this time when you get to see all the fall colors when driving around. I love getting to tour East Coast in the fall. It's one of my favorite things, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it is. It is very beautiful these days here. The leaves are changing and falling quickly, though. So we'll try to save you some.
A little for me.
Yeah, we'll save a few for you. You are going to be going out for, well, you know, like almost half a month straight, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get prepared for such a, you know, a time away from where you would normally call home?
Honestly, I hardly think about it. I mean, 2 weeks is probably the easiest, quickest touring that I could possibly do. So it feels very easy in comparison. I mean, this summer I was just on the road in Europe for like 7 weeks, and then I've still been traveling since then. So the fact that I've gotten to be home right now for these 2 weeks before going on the road, I'm feeling very relaxed and very ready to get out there. So
yeah, I know the folks that are going are ready to see you again. I remember seeing you, well, I was a young man, but you were even younger. You were, I believe, 13 when you first came around to, you went to Storrs, Connecticut at the Jorgensen Center for the Performing Arts.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I saw you one of those times you came out as just a wee little girl.
That's crazy.
And it was amazing.
Thank you.
You know, the duo, the team of you and your father, it was just absolutely amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And for such a young person to create such sound. I've worked with a lot of kids, and I just appreciate when kids are able to do so many wonderful things, like you were. It was a blessing. During a show, my eyes tend to close like 80% of the time, and I feel as though I leave my body or travel to my soul or something to that effect. Definitely an out-of-body sort of thing. How do you not do that when you're playing? I know you have to focus on the notes and things, but the music is so trance-like and peaceful that how do you not, or do you go somewhere while you're playing?
It does depend. I mean, the atmosphere of a venue can definitely play a part in whether I really feel allowed to get lost. There's some venues where perhaps the audience is further away, so you perhaps consciously have to throw yourself out a little bit more.
Right.
In which case I tend to remain very present and aware of the fact that I'm on a stage and that I'm doing a show, regardless of whether I'm involved in the music and enjoying myself or anything like that. But there are times, I mean, frequently when you just reach a point through the first couple of pieces where you realize that the audience is with you and it's connected and there's a journey happening, then, I mean, it's not that I forget that they're there, and, not quite that, but that you're able to be aware that they're there and then still somehow get lost.
Yeah.
And just basically focus on the stage, on the musicians I'm playing with, on the music I'm playing, and, you know, sort of just follow my own journey, but being aware that they're with me too, which is probably the best situation.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Do you ever feel like you get the energy of the crowd? Not just,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like what they're kind of going through transcends into you?
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it can happen from the second you walk on, but especially, for example, after finishing the first piece, if you really get that feedback through applause or just an energetic response, then it gives you that sort of confidence to let go even further and push your own boundaries because you realize that they're getting what you do.
Yeah.
And sometimes if that's not there, it's not that I would play less well or anything like that, but I might just remain a little more conscious.
Mm. Is there any improv going on?
Lots. This tour, because it's Rise and more of my non-classical compositions with an ensemble, there are more fixed cues and fixed pieces than would be in a classical Indian performance.
Mm-hmm.
Which
a raga?
Yes, in a raga you can be up to almost entirely improvised, though it varies person to person. So, I mean, in this, the pieces, the choruses might be fixed. We might have ending cues, perhaps along with eye contact, where we realize we're wrapping up to something. But in between, I've tried to leave as much freedom as possible because, you know, half of us are Indian classical musicians. Some of us work with jazz a lot. We're all used to being able to be a little bit free.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the best place to be, you know, where now at least we've toured Rise for months, and I feel like the musicians all know the music really well. They're able to give more if they can, you know, be let loose a little bit.
Yeah, that must be a great feeling for you, the artist who created
this,
the sounds.
Magical.
It has to be.
Absolutely. It's been a relatively new experience for me as well. I mean, like you mentioned, I've been touring for years, but it's only been this past year or so where it's really been about my compositions as well. And yeah, you're right. I mean, just watching that sort of come alive, especially in other people's hands, is quite amazing. Suddenly it sort of verifies that it's tangible, too, that it's out there in the world, you know?
Yeah.
Which is quite amazing.
Your world is you're still a very young woman. So, you know, in the sports world, you would still be, you know, able to get that $1 trillion contract.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah. So speaking of, do you what do you do for recreation?
Well, recently it's been either still a lot of music, whether it's sort of creating and playing with friends, but also a whole lot of nothing. I mean, in some ways, it's been the busiest past year that I've had.
Yeah.
When I look back, I took a year off, which ended up becoming the time I made this album, and the year following that was sort of a double busy tour to catch up on the shows that I hadn't done, plus promoting the album, and then this year became touring the album and at the same time doing work with my father and everything. So when I have time off, I'm really quite a bum. kind of slept around and do a lot of nothing.
Sweatpants and bonbons, or not that?
Not quite.
Not
but
quite
a lot
that.
Of late mornings and movies on the road, or I mean, being here at home is amazing because I live near the beach here in San Diego, so a lot of the beach and catching up with friends is always a priority, I suppose.
Yeah. Oh, I hear you there. You know, it's nice. You get to choose your friends, and there's a reason why you do. You know, and the ones that stick with you through all the times that you're, especially touring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ones that are, you have the messages waiting for you when you get back, or something special there. It's nice to have friends.
Yeah.
You know, I have friends that I've known since kindergarten that are still in my life.
Nice. Me too.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you reach a certain point with friendships where you don't even have to catch up when you come back.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really matter. I mean, you'll fill each other in on big things, but you don't have to catch up in order to solidify anything. You're already there.
Yeah, they feel that everything's good with you, and
yeah,
they feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So if it wasn't Indian classical music, I know this is probably hard to take yourself out of where you are, is there something else out there that you think you might have loved to do as a career?
Well, considering that partially I came into this, or possibly entirely, but my gravitation towards the sitar happened through being around it.
Mm-hmm.
And my memory of the first instrument I was drawn to was always the piano. And that was something I really sort of actively pursued, you know. And I suppose if life hadn't put me on this path, I could have easily still remained within music, but perhaps in the Western classical realm, or moving from there into a more jazz-oriented realm could have been possible. I am a creative person by nature, so I would imagine that the other things that appeal to me, like writing or, you know, as a kid, maybe acting, I mean, those were perhaps avenues I would have pursued.
Yeah, something in the arts still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of films, you were involved in a few different things, other projects, like Dance Like a Man.
Right.
That was a film.
Yes.
By Pamela Brooks.
Uh-huh.
I don't know much about it, so if I'm bringing up something that's kind of goofy, let me know.
No, it's nothing. It's just that it's like this one film that I did, and I still feel very self-conscious about it in some ways, because it's, you know, I'm used to seeing myself on TV as myself, but in a movie was rather different. I did love the experience because it's about dance, obviously enough, and I got to sort of retrain in a classical style I'd learned as a child and have to pull off being a dancer.
Yeah, I couldn't do that one.
So that was my main attraction to the film.
Well, the picture's nice. It looks like you know what you're doing. The picture here on the... Yeah, that looks fine. And then Ancient Marks. You did a soundtrack for that as well. Very busy. That one, the first one came out October 1st of 2004, and this one was November 8th.
Right.
So you know...
Look at you looking at the details. Yeah, well, I love that film, actually. It's a short film about... tattooing and body scarification around the world, and just kind of through moving images is drawing these parallels between, you know, tribes and inner city LA and eventually humanity in general. It's really quite beautiful.
I bet that is great.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm inked up a little bit myself, and I know you and your sister share one.
Right, and I have another little one as well, yeah.
And where, well, you don't have to tell
me. The back of my neck, it's fine.
Oh, really? And what is it?
It's a lotus.
Oh, I was going to bring up lotus somehow. Very, very nice. Favorite flower, then?
Funnily enough, I never even realized that. I've never given any thought to lotuses, and yet I somehow end up with two tattoos that kind of look like one. And,
yeah.
And I guess it's a theme of some kind.
Hmm. Now, when you were here last year, it's a great tale. Shows me life is still okay. A year to the day, that I interviewed your father, your folks contacted me out of the blue. Like I had sent, I had sent an email saying, "Hey, I wonder if," and all of a sudden, I kind of forgot about it. Time went by, and I was like, "Holy moly!"
That's so funny.
The year to the day. But when I met your father backstage, I had a piece of jade with me for you, mm-hmm. for you, and he got a chance to hold it. And it was, I wish I had a camera right there. It was a really neat sight to see him holding up my piece of ocean jade from Northern California, actually. But I they were like, "Oh, wait for Anushka. She'll be right back." And I was like, 20 minutes, tap my
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you had no idea I was there. But I still have that piece of jade. So someday, for good health.
I went to one of these shows.
Yeah, it's for good health.
And, well, thank you very much.
And I think maybe your dad should have rubbed it just a little bit more. How's he doing?
He's doing all right. And I mean, as I'm sure you know, he's having some shoulder problems.
Yeah.
And the like, since he had to cancel this last fall tour of his. So that's been a little upsetting for him, and he's doing some physical therapy and other things.
Too. Yep. Well, no pitching. So he won't pitch for the Dodgers or the Padres right now. But, we'll get him back there somehow. So what is in your iPod?
It's a little too varied. I mean, that's kind of the beauty of the iPod is you can suddenly let loose and...
Yeah, give me five.
Put everything on there.
Five things you think I don't know about.
Okay, I'm going... If you give me a second, I'm actually going into my top 25 most.
Well, we know you like Thievery Corporation, probably.
I do.
I do, too. Everything they seem to put their hands on is turns into platinum.
There's Wazimbo.
Oh.
Massive Attack.
Wait, Wazimba?
Wazimbo. With an O. There's a song called, if I can pronounce it, Nwahuwana.
Oh.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Sounded a lot like marijuana.
It does. I wonder.
I don't know.
Massive Attack, Cesaria Evora.
Massive Attack?
Yeah, I adore them.
Wow, good, good.
Absolutely adore them. Bjork and Habib Koité.
What was that?
Habib Koité.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. He came around recently with...
Oh, cool.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I've got some, I guess, Mortiba and Portishead.
Oh, I spoke to Paul last week.
Or nice.
Last month, maybe now. I don't know. Time goes by. But Paul Godfrey from Mortiba.
Nice.
Now, have you guys chatted ever?
No, never.
Oh, my goodness. Wouldn't that be an interesting sound?
It would be. I mean, they've definitely, I'd say Mortiba, Portishead, Massive Attack. As a teenager, those were kind of the eclectic enough. But, sexually bass-driven and unusual enough to kind of shape a lot of the sounds that, I've ended up working with and loving.
Yeah, I love the Mortiba.
Mm-hmm.
They're working on a new album right now as we speak.
Sounds good.
They're funny guys. They are funny guys. Of all the people that you have, there's a list of really interesting and cool people that you have, Queen Elizabeth and so on and so forth. What was it like to meet the Dalai Lama?
That was actually amazing.
Yeah, I imagine.
I wasn't necessarily... I mean, I've always had a great respect for him as what he is, of course. Met him a couple of times, once very briefly at a big event. But then the second time I met him, which is when I was part of a benefit concert in New York, and actually got to sort of interact with him for a little while, it was really, truly special, just a level of warmth and just sort of, radiating warmth. It was very humbling and beautiful.
I can only imagine. Some folks I was working with, colleagues of mine, had the opportunity to go down to, he was speaking in Washington at an event, and they were looking at going out to dinner, where they were going to go out to dinner while he was speaking rather than going. And I didn't really understand that, and then I stopped working there.
Right.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I can understand that.
Obviously not the right place for me if those are people that are
making
decisions... on my behalf, and they're going to choose. Yeah, so I don't work there anymore. The Ravi Shankar Center.
Yes.
I spoke to your father briefly about it. He kind of went into detail of what it is. How are, in a year's time since the last time I spoke, has there been anything new going on there?
It's been good, actually. Yeah, it's a little more up and running as far as the concerts and things go at the center. Obviously, in its infancy, there's still a lot more interest that's generated when my father's in town.
Sure.
And that was something we had to kind of try to overcome, because we might do monthly concerts, but it was really only working when he was around. And that seems to have subsided now that, you know, people are used to there being regular concerts, and we'll go to find out about it. I think we might be hosting one of the Daniel Pearl World Music Foundation concerts next week.
Wonderful.
In Delhi, which is really wonderful, and we've done a few other lovely events like that.
Oh.
The archives, more importantly, perhaps, are also, you know, well underway as far as documenting all of my father's compositions and digitizing things, tapes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really been, you know, kind of a wait list that's on board and happening.
Oh, that's great.
So, yeah.
That is great.
Now and then we do some kind of fundraising event or something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's all nonprofit and it's a little bit crazy sometimes. But
yeah, I hear you there. Well, if you need any assistance on anything with that, let me know.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. I'm sincere there. I just want to thank you for your time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
How can people find out more about the Ravi Shankar Center?
Well, here in the States, it's known as the Ravi Shankar Foundation.
Foundation, okay.
The arm of it. So, I mean, if you look up, for example, my father's website at ravishankar.org, there is, you know, a contact number and information. And then if someone wishes to get it more involved, they can just email and people will respond.
Wonderful.
About either the center in Delhi or the foundation here.
Wonderful. It's an honorable thing to be a part of. And I thank you for your time and of course, the music that you are involved with and the sound that you fill my thirsty ears with.
Oh, thank you very much.
So thank you again, and it was a pleasure.
Me too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.